Good morning, everybody. So, as we're on Heart Health Week, I want to cover a study done about oats. So, oats and heart disease, what do we know? So, there is, weirdly, a lot of information online now about how oats are bad for you and, a spike in your blood sugar is bad, all this type of stuff. And there's people saying, oats are magic, or there's something called autoglutide or something like that. I can't exactly remember. Someone was telling me about this. So oats have got this kind of like, ooh, they've got this like a lot of information around it, but it's now starting to go the wrong way. So what does the science actually say about oats? And if you don't like oats, that's fine. It doesn't mean you're not gonna be healthy. But let's have a look at what the science actually says, because misinformation is spreading. So a research team in Switzerland looked at three types of studies. Experiments in which one group of participants consumed oats or a supplement made from oat fiber, and a control group who ate an oat-free diet. Experiments with the same oats versus no oat structure, but with both groups in an energy deficit, and experiments that compared oats to another food like rice or wheat. The review reinforced what previous reviews have found. Oats can help reduce both total and LDL cholesterol. It also found modest reductions in blood glucose, BMI, body weight, and waist circumference amongst participants who consumed oats compared to those who didn't. The average difference in weight between groups was 0.7 pounds, and in waist circumference it was 0.4 inches, or 1 centimeter. So not massive. Obviously, calories were matched, so we don't expect to see statistical significance here when calories are matched or protein in the most cases as well. Because we know once protein and calories are matched, no diet is superior for weight loss, right? Or fat loss more specifically. But what's the best type of oats they looked at? Are all oats created equal? So they did another test. They looked at the thin oats versus the thicker ones. So I think just more processed versus kind of least processed. Think of the thicky flakes versus the small, rolled, kind of choppy up ones. Difference is not significant again. The director of nutrition, one of the studies, says he's not convinced long term if it matters what type of oats you go for. So it's better just to go for the oats you actually like. They will like some people will get more of a blood sugar spike from some oats. Some people get less. It also depends on the day, but the same oats can have a different effect. So it doesn't really matter. And if you start looking at blood sugar as the ultimate thing, you're gonna freak out about everything you eat, because you're gonna be like, oh my God, that's just fruits caused it a spike. Yes, obviously. Not to a huge degree, obviously, because it's got fiber, but some people might see a spike and go, oh, food's bad. That's where the industry is leading. Well, not the total industry, but that's where a lot of people are going. So here's some other stats that are interesting, right? Participants who reported eating some oats of any kind were 14% less likely to have type 2 diabetes, and 27% less likely to have cardiovascular disease compared to those who said they didn't eat any. When comparing those who reported the highest versus lowest oat intake, the risk of type 2 diabetes was 22% less, and men who reported eating at least 20 grams of oats per day on average were 24% less likely to die of any cause. The mortality rate for women was 22% lower. Obviously, this isn't a causation, it's only correlation. And what we can say from this is the people who tend to eat oats are on a health kick sometimes, right? So you'll notice a lot of fitness people promote overnight oats, which is they're lush. You should try them. It's part of the fitness kind of golden triage of foods, right? So that's kind of why it's linked to that, as opposed to oats as a magic food. But oats is high in fiber. It's actually got some protein in there. You can add some whey protein, so you get a mega boost of protein. So, for example, you can every night before bed, you can mix some oats with some milk with some whey protein. You can do one scoop, you can do two scoops, you can add some a fridge too if you want. You can make it quite calorific, really, because you can add a lot of people add chia seeds and other fats, peanut butter and stuff. You can end up with a 600, 700, 800 gram, 800 calorie bowl of oats. So you do want to be careful with every addition you add to it, but just get some oats in you, get some whey protein in, and you'll get a 30 to 40 gram protein boost from something that tastes delicious as well, in my opinion anyway. So it's about understanding that. And like, obviously, we want foods that are high in nutritional value. I was reading another study earlier as well, and like, the researchers wanted to know, is it better for people to be eating a higher nutrient diet, or is it better to have people a higher adherence, which means just sticking to a calorie deficit? So like, what's better? Because, you know, there is a battleground essentially down there where it's saying, well, as long as you stick to your calories, it's fine, you can lose weight. The other camp is saying, no, that's calories don't tell you the nutritional quality of your diet. So forget calories and focus on nutrients and nutrient dense foods, right? So both camps have got valid points there. But again, the answer's in the middle, right? So they looked at this and they had basically four segments. So they had people who had a high quality diet and they were highly stick they stuck to it, so they calorie controlled. You had a lot high quality, then low, so they didn't really stick to like a calorie intake, but they just ate high quality foods only, and I mean that were nutrient dense. Then you had low quality, high, low quality, just whatever foods, but they stuck to their calorie intake. And then you had low quality foods and then low adherence to the targets, okay? So obviously the group that had a high quality, high adherence did best because they had best of both worlds, okay? They reduced their BMI by 2.5 points, and they cut 900 calories out on average each day, right? So the worst results was obviously low quality, low quality, low adherence, obviously. But here's the thing. The low quality, high adherence subgroup had the second best results across the board. So they cut 900 calories at an 800 calories at 900 calories. They reduced consumption of both fats and carbs. Their BMI reduced, and improvements of blood pressure also surpassed the average of all participants. So they basically had all the benefits essentially of sticking to a high quality diet only as well. But what's interesting, it did better than high quality, low adherence. Okay, so I don't know if you're confused right now because it can be confusing, but low quality foods, and it doesn't mean shit, okay? That's not what this means. It just means they're not the pinnacle, the high quality foods you think about, nutrient dense foods. They're just average foods, like sometimes could be a burger and whatever. But sticking to a calorie controlled deficit was important, okay? So that kind of wins out slightly. Again, this is these numbers overall. If you say to me, Scott, you know what though, if I focus on eating fruits and veggies and lean meats and oats and stuff like that, I do find it easier to stick to my calorie intake. So I get best. I kind of don't go down the path of best of both worlds anyway. But I know for a fact a lot of people are kind of like, I'd rather just have a calorie and protein target, and then I'll just try and make up my numbers, okay? And that's fine as well. But again, backed by research, that's more than fine. It is basically second best to having the perfect combination. So I want to finish this podcast there because, you know, there's a lot of information there, but I don't want to think going off now and thinking if you're not eating oats, then what's the point and it's bad? No. Oats was associated with those benefits because people started improving health, right? It's considered a health food. Now, you just want to look at potentially your meals and say, is my breakfast maybe high density nutritional density? Is my lunch and is my dinner? And if the answer is, I don't know, sometimes, why not test out one breakfast or one lunch each day being like, maybe the breakfast is an oats and a whey protein mixed with some milk and some extra fruit, you know, like super high quality, calorie controlled breakfast, or having it for lunch, doesn't matter. Like, I don't believe in this nonsense. Like, you can't have that for lunch. That's a breakfast food. Who told you that? Society, is it? Mr. Fucking Kellogg's, is it? Nah, I'll eat whatever foods I want at any time I want, and I don't care if people think it's weird, but I will. I've got no marriage to certain foods or certain meals. Anyway, think about one change you can make to a meal that you can make it a higher quality, and then run the experiment. Does it make a difference to me? Does it make a difference to my satiety levels? Does it make a difference how I feel? And run it. Give it a run. Give it a run for its money and check out. But I thought I'd cover that because it is misinformation out there. But have a good day. Get your one big thing done, and I'll be seeing you back here tomorrow.